can bow our heads and close our eyes and have an audience with Almighty God. Father, I've never gotten beyond that. That God the Holy Spirit channels our prayer from here all the way through the heavens, into the third heaven, into the throne room of the living God. You amaze us, Father. And what is so amazing also is we can refer to you as our Father. We have become children of the living God by faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for the evening. I thank you for what we're going to learn tonight that will bless us and ultimately that will allow us to magnify Christ in our life to others. And Father, I pray that we would be busy sharing our faith with other people, either through our missions ministry here or through performing our spiritual gift in this body, or through teaching a class or sharing our gifts with others, that we would be busy sharing the gospel, carrying that message to those who need so desperately to hear about Jesus Christ. Father, we know heaven's real and hell is real, and we know the difference is Jesus Christ. So help us to be busy, Father, carrying that message. And tonight, as we study your word, as we sing songs that lift up and glorify Christ, I pray that it would all work together to do just that, to magnify him, because he alone is worthy of our praise and our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn tonight to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. One of the things that little Jimmy Dickens, I got to bring that up, I'm sorry. One of the things, he's 88 years old. David said, I would love for Linda to meet him, but she better hurry because he may not make it very much longer. But one of the things he did is he wrote everything down on a piece of paper. And he read all of his jokes and he read all of his announcements. And he says, I've been here long enough that they allow me to do this. And at my age, it really helps. So I think it was Barb that asked me tonight, are those paper clips in your Bible, Brother Dick? Pointing out those passages? Yeah, at my age, Barb, they allow me to do that. So that was all for you. But Daniel chapter 10, let's read that passage. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but let me read it down through where I wanted to, down through 13, if you don't mind. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz, or Uphaz, literally, Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of the multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face and my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of his word. Hymn number 516, there is another dimension that we're not aware of. And it's going on all around us, all the time. And we can't see it. And that's a good thing. But in the process of all that's going on, God protects us, those of us who know Christ. He puts a shield about us. God has an invisible creation. In fact, Daniel, we've already talked about this from the book of Daniel, but he said that Nebuchadnezzar, remember when God caused Nebuchadnezzar, because of his pride, to grow the feathers and to eat the grass like the beast of the fields, and God humiliated him. And then he came to himself and he says, I praised and honored the Most High God who lives forever and ever, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven. So there's a heavenly army that God is over. There's another realm. There's another state of existence beyond this realm. It's the angelic realm. And he does according to his will among the inhabitants of the earth, so that none can stay his hand or say to him, what in the world are you doing? But God is carrying out his will among both creations, all of his creation. We're all under his sovereign care, his sovereign plan. We're going to catch a little glimpse into that realm tonight from God's word. Now, these are merely human words, but they open up to us some amazing truth. And I want us to kind of take that little glimpse tonight, take that little walk into the angelic realm just for a moment with Daniel. Can we do that? I hope so. So with that in mind, as kind of an introduction to the text, let's bow together for prayer. Father, would you open our mind tonight by means of the Holy Spirit to catch a glimpse of what's going on around us? Father, you are the architect of history and you're directing history. But we know there's a lot of evil people on this planet. There's a lot of evil kings, a lot of evil rulers, evil governors. But Father, I pray tonight that we could see the power behind these leaders, these rulers, but that you're the ultimate, you're the one in the that has the ultimate say. You are in control of all of history. Father, help us to see that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've gone through Daniel now. We've talked about this image with the head of gold and the breast and arms of silver and the thighs of brass, the thighs and belly of brass, and the feet of clay and iron. And the idea that this image is formed like a man, that has a reason behind it. Because Daniel is saying, by showing this human image, that he's describing all of these nations that are going to rule the world during all of human history, beginning with Babylon, going to the Medes and the Persians, then the Greeks, and then Rome. But today, the Roman Empire has spread across the planet. It's all over the world. The Roman Empire, the Roman political system is still at work in the world. Our government is based on that same system. Our entire government. And it's all over the earth. But what Daniel is wanting us to see also is there's a reason for the gold. You know, the gold is that purity and it's very pliable. And it implies that when Babylon began, they knew God. They knew the living God. And they were very humble. The kings were very humble under him, and they recognized him. And it symbolized there was not much human strength involved in that system. But as the systems, as the government of the earth progressed through the centuries, it moved into the Medes and Persians, into the silver, less valuable metal, but stronger, less valuable, less spirituality, less consciousness of God, more emphasis on humanism. And then ultimately it moved into the Greeks, which was revealed by the brass, a little more brittle, more strength, more human strength, but far less value spiritually. And then ultimately it was iron mixed with clay. Iron implies tremendous human strength, power, and human wisdom, but very minimal God's wisdom. Spirituality whatsoever, no right view of God. So history has moved in that direction away from God. It began close to God, revealed by the gold, but it moved far from Him throughout history. God's a genius, isn't He? That's why that human, that statue that Daniel saw there, because he's given us a picture there of human history. And tonight he's going to introduce us to what's behind human history, what's going on. We know there's conflicts all over the world. In fact, Jesus said, you're always going to have war. You're always going to have war. But there's a reason for the conflict in the world. There's a reason that the Muslims hate us and want us dead. There's a reason for the Hindus and the Buddhists. There's a reason for all of these conflicts that are going on throughout, have gone on throughout the time, throughout historical years, the years of time, and there's a reason for ultimately how it's all going to end. And I want us to kind of catch a glimpse of that tonight as we begin. It says, Daniel gets this vision, first of all, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel. This is verse 1, chapter 10. Whose name was Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. Now, verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, this guy is a tremendously spiritual man. Now, he's weak. He's now in his 80s. Got a little age on him. I'm not implying that 80's old, but he's got some age on him now. And he says in verse 3, I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now he's fasting and he's praying. He's crying out to God for some. Remember, he still wants some direction concerning Israel and Jerusalem. Now God's already told him his plan through Gabriel in chapter 9. But Daniel is still praying about that subject. It says, now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. Now notice the description of him here. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. I remember a description like that. Hold your place here and flip over to Revelation chapter 1 and look in verse 12. And this is a picture of Jesus Christ as he is sitting on his throne. Look at this. Revelation chapter 1. Look in verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands, and in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So back in Daniel, what we're seeing is Daniel is catching the same vision, the same picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we call this in the Bible, those of us who traffic in the Word of God, a theophany. A theophany is an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament before He took on flesh in Bethlehem of Judea. Remember, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but He had appearances before He took on flesh. That's called a theophany. And you see those appearances all through the Old Testament. So here we see Daniel. He has a picture now, this amazing vision. Now, you have to catch it. He's caught up in prayer. He's been in he's fasted now. He's probably weak from hunger. He's been pouring his heart out. He's been on his face before God for days. He's probably just exhausted. And then he gets this vision right here. But now notice what happens. Look in verse 7. "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell on them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face on the ground." Now look in verse 10. "Suddenly a hand touched me." Now can you imagine how he felt? Think about that just a minute. Would that shake you up? It'd scare me to death. This hand on his shoulder. That's exactly what happened. It scared him to death. "Look, which made me tremble on my knees." His knees smote one against the other, Dick Hill translation. "And on the palms of my hands, sweat popped out on his hands." I mean, he was frightened. He was afraid. Look at verse 11. "And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you." While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. In other words, he's telling Daniel, "Hey, Daniel, God has sent me to you." But as he's talking, Daniel is still what? He's still shaking. That's the picture we get here. Verse 12, "Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand," that is to understand God's plan for Jerusalem and the Jews and the history of Israel, "and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Now that's important to us. You know what that says to me? You know what that says to you? It says that God hears our what? Our prayer. Our prayer is not just human words that bounce off of the ceiling. God is consciously aware of our words. But He also knows our heart. He also can discern the sincerity, the motivation behind the prayer. He also knows the sincerity of our heart. So when we sincerely cry out to Him, if we have a heartache, if we have a pain, if we have a problem in our life and we're crying out to Him, He hears our prayer. And sometimes He answers the way we pray, does He not? Sometimes He gives us the answer, and sometimes it comes right away. But other times in my life, it's been, wait a while. Just wait. Don't stop praying. I know your heart. Don't stop praying. Don't stop crying out to me. Don't stop humbling yourself before me. You be that clay pot. I'll be strong on your behalf. Cry out to me. But he waits a while, sometimes a long while, sometimes for years maybe. And then sometimes the other end of the answer is no. I'm not going to give you that answer, at least in that. I'm always amazed at what Dr. Billy Graham's wife said publicly many, many years ago. She said, I'm glad that God doesn't always answer our prayers. Because she said, I would have married the wrong man four times. A lot of truth in that. But what Daniel is saying here and what the angel is saying to Daniel is, I've heard and I've been sent with the answer. Now notice verse 13. This is an interesting verse. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. In other words, here's the point. Watch this now. God sent Gabriel to Daniel with the answer to Daniel's prayer. But Gabriel ran into a problem. He was bushwhacked. Now that's the Bible. It says here, look, he says, I have come because of your words. That's verse 12, the end of verse 12. I have come because of your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. That's why it's been so long. When you've been crying out to God, you've been on your face before the Lord, you've been fasting, you've been going through all these motions. Heard you the first time, God says. Sent the answer. But the prince of Persia bushwhacked me. I couldn't make it. Now this prince is no human being. Now you just caught a glimpse of into the angelic realm right there. Is that not amazing? You just caught that, didn't you? That's not a human. That human didn't stop that angel. It was another angel that stopped the angel. Now what we're getting to right here is we're beginning to peer into something that's amazing. It's been called by many Bible teachers throughout, I don't know, many, many years, the angelic conflict in the Word of God. It's going on right around us right now. That'll make you sleep well tonight, won't it? It is. It's going on around us. All over the world it's going on, and there's a conflict going on. Now, human agents are involved in the conflict, but they're not the power behind the conflict. They're just human agents. They're just human beings. But there's a power behind them. And that's why the world is in the shape the world is in. Because the Bible tells us that who's the king of this world? Do you know? I didn't hear you. You mumbled. Yes, Satan. He's the god of this age. He's the god of this world. He has a whole hierarchy. He has a whole army of beings that he's over, and they're running this earth. And that's why there's so many wars and collision and hatred and bitterness. That's why the Muslims hate us. That's why 9/11 took place. They hate us. They hate Christians. They're out to kill us, and they would if they could. Don't ever think they wouldn't. And Satan would nothing less than destroy you. Because you're here to magnify Jesus Christ. You're here to preach the gospel. You're here to help the Holy Spirit bring in the kingdom of Jesus Christ at His second coming. You're here to share the good news with the sheep all over the earth. So he hates you. He wants to exterminate you. But I want you to remember this. Satan is a created being. I was going to get to him tonight. We may have some time to get to him next week. That's a subject you'd like to talk about. Talk about the old snake, Lucifer, the devil. We'll put that on the marquee out front. I want you to know where he came from. And I'll talk about that next Sunday after next. Sunday night. I'll tell you where Satan came from. Would you like to know that? How he came to be? And I'll just also tell you the origin of evil. Would you like to know that? I mean, there have been preachers for ages who would love to know that. Now, that ought to motivate you to come out. But what we're peering into here, like I said, is the angelic conflict. Now, that's how he's controlling the world. But notice what happens here. It says, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes. We know him as the archangel, do we not? You see, there's this hierarchy that we're talking about. Michael, the archangel, we've got Gabriel, we've got others. They're officers in this gigantic army of God. And Gabriel was sent to answer Daniel's prayer, but the king of Persia withstood him, so God just said, hey, Michael, go cut him loose. Dick Hill translation. So Michael was sent, and he freed Gabriel to come. Is this complicated? It's not. It's what we're talking about right here. It's what's going on. Michael was sent to free him. Now watch. One of the chief princes came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now watch this. Those are human kings. But behind those human kings are non-human beings, angels. They're giving them their power. They're giving them their intelligence. They're giving them their words. They're giving them that aggression to want to destroy Israel and to want to ultimately kill the Christians. And they, like I said, they would if they could. Interesting. What I'd like to do is just take a moment to teach you, and this is going to set up next Sunday, not next Sunday, Sunday after next. It's going to set up our study. But I want to teach you a little what we call in the theological world, angelology. That's a big word. Now you have to pronounce it before you leave tonight. Angelology, the study of angels. What do we know about angels from the Word of God? What are they like? Do we have any scripture that will teach us what they're like? Now we know they're spirit beings. We know we can't see them. And we know that they're all male. There's no female angels. They're all male. Wonder what the press would do with that one. But let's get some characteristics. Number one, they're very wise beings. They're full of wisdom. Look in 2 Samuel 14. 2 Samuel 14. Yes, Barb, I am using my little markers now, those Bible drill people. Oh, did you want to do something tonight? I'll shut it down pretty quickly here, and I'll let you do your little trick. 14:20, look in 14:20. We'll go through these characteristics real quick. Wisdom. 2 Samuel 14:20. Having to do with Joab, but notice this. To bring about this change of affairs, your servant Joab has done this thing, but my Lord is wise according, now notice this, to the wisdom of the angel of God to know everything that is in the earth. Here's the deal. Angels know what's going on here. They're amazingly wise. They're brilliant beyond anything we could imagine. They know what's happening. They know what we're up to. And they're fascinated with God's building His church, the church of Jesus Christ. They're fascinated with the power of the gospel. And they're looking into this realm all the time, watching Jesus Christ put his church together, build the body of Christ right here on the earth. But they're wise beings. In fact, we're going to meet a being, when I talked about him earlier, Satan, who's the absolute wisest creature in all the universe. that's a story for another time. Strength, Psalm 103. Look at Psalm 103. They're strong, supernatural strength. Strength. Psalm 103:20. Look in verse 19 for sort of a context. Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in what? Strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. They have a supernatural strength. So they're wise and they're strong. But why did God create them? The word, the Old Testament word angel is the word malak, malak. That's where we get Malachi. It means messenger. When you turn to Malachi in the Bible, that book Malachi, that means messenger. So the Old Testament word for angel is malak. The New Testament word is angelos, and it means exactly the same thing, messenger. But they send us a message about God. They tell us that we have an awesome God. Do they not? They reveal to us that he is amazing. He's awesome. He has this angelic army that's just supernatural, that's beyond anything our minds can imagine, humanly speaking. He's an awesome God. That's what they tell us. They send us that message. But they're also here, watch this now, they're put on the earth to glorify God. Now, what does that word glorify mean? To shed light on. Did somebody say that? To shed light on. That's what it means. I'm sort of being glorified up here a little bit, right? This light's coming down here, and you can see me. That's the word glorify. So we're here as believers to glorify Jesus Christ. So when people look at us, we magnify him. That's why we're here and not in heaven, to glorify him, to shed light on him. But the angels are here to glorify God. And we see that in Isaiah 6. Look there. Boy, that's a good passage. You know this passage. I know you do. To glorify him, to worship him. That's how they glorify him. They worship him. Remember, we talked about this when we went through the unveiling, the book of the Revelation. We saw the angels worshiping God. Myriads of them. We talked about that this morning, and we're going to meet some of them one day. I want to meet one special angel. We're going to point that out in just a minute, but I want to meet the one who looked after me my whole life. From that first morning in Yazoo City, Mississippi, I've never been out of his care. But look in Isaiah 6. Verses 1 through 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now this is Isaiah. He's a human being, but God is giving him a vision of the throne of the living God. Above it, that's the throne, stood seraphim. One seraph, two seraphim. The burning ones. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew, and one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So angels are here to glorify God. They're here to magnify him. Now, seraphim's burning ones. There are two categories of angels. I'll get on this next time. I get a chance to teach. They're cherubim and seraphim, and I'll tell you the difference. And I'll show you the difference from the Scripture. Preview of coming attractions. Hold on to your seats. Last character, and we're going to turn it over to Barb and her Bible drill group to finish up tonight. That'll be a highlight. You thought I was going to have a boring finish, didn't you? They're here. Last of all, well, let's go through them. Wisdom, strength to glorify God, to magnify Him, to worship Him. And finally, they're here as His ministering spirits. But I want you to notice from the text who they minister for, who they minister to. Hebrews chapter 1. We've already looked at this. This word ministering is to render a spiritual service. Did you hear that? To render a spiritual service. That's the word ministering. Look in Hebrews chapter 1, look in verse 14. Are they, the they refers back to angels, are they not all ministering spirits, now notice this, sent forth to minister for those who will inherit what? You know who that is? That's us. They minister on our behalf. They keep the evil one from us. They keep him from destroying us. Now, many times God says he unleashes the evil ones on us, the demon spirits. God says they need to be disciplined. That is talking about me. He needs some discipline. He needs to be trained. He needs to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. I need to strengthen him. So yes, I'll unleash. You can go. But do this, you can't do that. Do this, you can't do that. I'll tell you how you can take care of him. You can't do this. We'll see that in Job when we get to that. That's a great picture of that. They're limited in what they can do. But these angels help us. And you probably couldn't count the times that you went through an intersection and you didn't know this. But maybe there was someone inebriated, a drunk, that just missed you. Just missed you. By God's design, he missed you. And you can't count the times that maybe some cells in your body could have turned to cancer, but they didn't. Amazingly, they didn't. And you can't count the times that you were around disease that could have crippled you for life. You know, I felt helpless when we were in India because we didn't have any of the protection over there we have here. But you're out on the Lord and there are demons there and you're consciously aware of that. But you can't count the times that God has protected you. And that's the guy I want to meet one day. What about you? I want to meet him. I want to meet him. You looked after me my whole life. You gave me the opportunity to glorify Jesus Christ because you protected me. Okay, so next week, we get back on this with the cherubim, the seraphim, the origin of Satan, and the origin of evil. Boy, that's biting off a chunk. We've been through this before, but about 3 or 4 years ago. Time to go through it again. Well, I'm going to close this portion by asking Barb to come up.